Robert Atsushi First Experience. First experience of Rapture City of Debrecen, Hungary. I left the United States to do work in Hungary and ended up staying and living there. I'm the son of Kenzo Atsushi. He raised me in the narrow path of holiness. Satan has always fought to destroy this family. My father made a promise that the Atsushi family would serve God for the rest of their lives. My father did 3 days of fasting and prayer to God and petitioned that even if one member of the Atsushi clan should backslide, he would return to the path of salvation like the prodigal son. Our souls were surrendered to God when we were born, mine and that of my brother who died. The devil could touch the flesh, but not our souls. My father even made that covenant and never stopped praying for his family. He knew that Satan would want to thwart his desires. Everything my father said was important. His advice I listened to and obeyed. He has more experience in life. So, he demanded much of his children when we did unpleasant things. When he asked us to do anything, he never said please. He said that every child's obligation is to obey. He never said thank you or praised us. He told us that we are not born to be exalted. When my brother and I shouted his name, he did not interrupt what he was doing. He did not look at us. He said we can speak. He is listening and he continued doing his work. When I was annoyed at his delay in answering me, I asked, why is he taking so long? He did not answer and kept doing his work at home until I tired of screaming. After I stopped calling, a few hours passed and I had already forgotten. He approached me and said, son, learn to wait. Have patience. I am not your slave. I am your father. If you have no respect for your father, you will never have respect for God. My father asked me to help him paint the house and taught me by letting me paint the doghouse. When I finished painting, he said, good job. I recognize your talent. But he criticized the part of the side that I forgot to paint. He said, never do anything in half. When you are in the way, never go halfway. Strive to reach its end. Try to be a perfect child in the presence of God, even as God charged Abraham. I was a child. I started to cry and said, I do not do anything right? He said, this is how God is pleased, from humiliation, from those who weep on their knees on the ground. The man who says I do this, he needs to learn. The man has to recognize that without God, he is nothing and that he needs God to help him. My son, I'm sure that will improve your painting. One day I received a lowly grade 4 in school. I came home with a lot of anger. I started to punch the doors and walls. My father said quietly, why do that? It will damage the doors and walls. They are not to blame for your grading. If there is anyone guilty, it is you who did not study. All that made sense for me to take responsibility for my life. To take on our sins and responsibility before God and not to blame people for our failures. I started to study hard and I got 8 marks out of 10. I arrived home joyfully. My father said, you got a good result, could be better. You got 8 marks because of some wrong answers to some questions. Study those questions and see where you went wrong so next time you do not make the same mistakes. Learn to be strong in failures. That is progress. My father was wonderful. He was teaching me the word through the simple things in life. He praised the great prophets of the Bible, encouraged me to be like them. My heart burned to be like these men. I knew my father praised the Bible prophets very much. I wanted to be like these men to receive praise from my father. Today I understand that just as a 7-year-old struggled to please his father and wanted to be like the prophets to catch his eye, it taught me to call God's attention by doing everything Jesus and his apostles did. My father left his spiritual inheritance that he now passed on to his son. He left his legacy of fidelity to the church. He died on June 2, 2016, a few months after his 9th rapture experience. I had already lost my brother in that accidental tragedy of the truck that destroyed our house. Then my mother Akemia died. And lastly, my father. According to medical diagnosis, it was due to a failure of multiple organs. And my father died in his sleep. He simply slept and did not wake up anymore. He did not feel any pain at the time of leaving. He prepared me for the day of his death. I did not agree that he should die. I prayed to God not to let him die. My prayers were in vain. They were not according to the will of God. Our problem is not to accept when God says no and his will comes to prevail over our will. My father, Kenzo, instilled in me this principle, I will not do your will. Stop being selfish, Learn to accept what I want. I know what's good for you. Satan fought against this family. When I was young, I started to walk with depraved people. My father at first advised me not to walk with these people. He never forced me and let me make the choice that made me suffer. Satan possessed me, making me a homosexual. My mother and I abandoned my father. Satan wanted to hurt my father and cause a lot of pain because his ministry grew bigger and became supernatural every day. His mortification of carnal cravings quickened his spirit by bringing him closer to the presence of God. My father became friends with Jesus. He saw him and hugged him. He talked to Jesus personally. My father never stopped praying for his family, even with so much pain and suffering. Satan had wounded his flesh and soul, but his spirit was strong and he won this war waged against the King of Hell. He was approved of God and grew in grace in such a way that the signs of the Holy Spirit accompanied him. Every test that he won advanced him in the spirit world, and that bothered the demons. My mother and I returned home to my father. We returned to my father's church. I reconciled with Jesus. My purpose was to be like my father, a man used by God. A child of 12 named Adam grew up in my father's ministry, seeing my father working many miracles. This child watched my father's behavior and began to imitate him. This child prayed enough to be used as my father. Today he is 23 years old. He is a young man very used by God. My father died and left his disciples. Not many, but enough to cause damage to Satan. I saw in a vision the names of the brothers Robinson, Barney, Justin, and the sisters Audrey and Carly. The names of these brothers are on the list of demons. They are the next targets of the attacks of the demons, for they undertake to follow my father's example. My father did not like owing anything in a shop or to a neighbor. It bothered him. He always paid his debt on time. He was always punctual. That's what he learned from God, to always arrive at the right time. My father entered the spiritual realm. It seemed that he was not in this world. His body was here, but his spirit connected with God. He is so connected with the heavens that earthly things lost their importance. He did not care about goods. Riches were worthless to him. His desire to travel to Italy, France, Brazil, Argentina, Jamaica was part of his plan for the year 2018. My father had no prejudice against preaching in different churches. It didn't matter to him if it could be the most depraved church. If he was sent an invitation, he did not refuse. All this was part of his strategy of confronting the devil within his territory. He saw the possibility of salvation in these churches. He hoped to rescue the captives of this world of darkness. Many pastors hated my father, but he never considered them as his enemies. He prayed for them to God to open their eyes. Several pastors who invited my father to preach to their ministries had changed. The power of God was manifested in those churches that he was invited to minister. Pastors had no choice but to preach the truth, leaving the lie when they saw the real power of God acting through my father's preaching. Many Christians in my father's church have refused to go to these churches. They say where the kingdom of Satan is, we do not trample on our feet to tarnish our garments. They think they are too holy not to mingle. My father said if Jesus approached sinners, he would do the same for their salvation. If the Catholic or Buddhist church or even a house of witchcraft sent an invitation to my father to preach, he accepted, because he saw the opportunity to win souls. The first invitation my father received to preach was at the house of a sorceress. The demons disturbed this woman who called several pastors to pray for her. Everyone was afraid and refused to fight with the powers of darkness. My father was the only one who agreed to pray for her. The images of the saints began to burst. That woman that day saw the power of God and gave up her life by becoming a member of his church. She was one of the most praying women. The pastors would tell my father if he was afraid the legions of demons would kill him. He replied that he only feared the one who has the power to give life and take life and still cast into hell. Revivals. My father said that these revivals that are prophesied by multitudes of prophets are a lie. This does not happen in churches insensitive to sin that does not renounce the world. My father told everyone to seek their own personal revival in their day-to-day life. Strive. He said, I do not believe in a collective revival, but I believe in individual revival. If God is going to one day cause a country or worldwide revival, only God knows that. Perhaps in the distant future when the church is in pursuit of God. He said he had already witnessed a revival in a small church because each person did their part, sanctified themselves, renounced the world, and prayed in their homes. When they arrived at the church, each came with a spark of the Holy Spirit within them. Every spark has gathered and become a fire. The temple was set on fire by the power of God. That was one church he started a revival. In a city that had more than 50 dead churches, one went into spiritual revival there. My father said, "Stop depending on me. I'm going to die and the same spirit that is in me will continue with you operating. Depend on the Holy Spirit as of today, your activity in the church cannot end." My father was brave against the demons. He knew who his greatest enemy was. Against the people he was kind. He cried at dawn in prayer for the people. He looked like the prophet Jeremiah. I do not get one day without reading the Bible and praying. My communication with Jesus is the basis of our relationship. Communication is prayer. Talking to Jesus is like a spiritual dating of the groom with the bride. It is through this relationship born of prayer that love grows and the flame of communion increases. I began to love Jesus when I began to communicate with him. Jesus came to love me and will not lose my soul to the devil. He felt jealous of me with the world and its sin. I have to feel his presence of comfort every night. When I bend my knee and pray to Jesus, sometimes I do not feel his presence and I cry out to him, saying, "I know he's here," even without feeling his presence, until I feel his presence. I will not stop praying. I humble myself to feel his touch. I need it to refresh my soul. May the desert of my life bloom with flowers. I insist, do not take your spirit away from me and never withdraw your presence. His Holy Spirit visited me and filled that vase with its oil. Son, the church has to insist on their prayers to feel the presence of God. No matter how long it takes. I am sure he will touch the one who humbles himself by his presence. I've been asking for 3 hours to feel this presence until he touched me and great virtue invaded my being. His hand was in my heart. I felt the supernatural heat inside my soul. This is true love. The real contact with man and God. Nothing gets done with a simple prayer. Prayer should come with insistence. There must be a yearning to feel his touch, his embrace, and begging to have that contact with him. That for me is the most valuable in this world. The Lord Jesus told me, "I love you so much, Robert, know this. I want you to be a great man of God. Tell the church that I love all my children, I'll carry their names engraved on my heart." At the beginning of his ministry, my father rescued a child out of the street. He sent him to an orphanage, which he founded with much sacrifice. This child called him a father and suffered greatly from his death. Before my father died, he pleaded the church not to stop preaching the truth. That was his biggest concern before he died. When my father got old, he received help from the angels, who were not in his ministry when he was still young. My father was timid and sat in the last pews of the church. He was not like those who had important positions that sat in the front rows. The word of God says that the last shall be first. He had no opportunity and no one looked at him. He had no recognition as a man of God despite living a holy life. For the church, he was only an insignificant member. After my father renounced the world, he spent 4 years praying daily without stopping and received great authority in the spiritual world. In 8 years, his authority doubled. In 12 years, he was stronger. Before the 4 years of prayer and sanctification, my father had no authority. He was just a simple man. God exalted my father in the church of his pastor where he began. He was more used than his pastor, causing astonishment to many who despised him. A man without a position in the church has more authority than his pastor. When a person possessed with a legion of demons fell into manifestations, the pastor could not drive out those demons, nor did anyone else from the church. With only one command, my father dealt one blow and sent that legion away. He did not magnify himself by being exalted by God. He diminished himself, but God saw it fit to make him great in the sight of all. My father was always a different person from everyone else. He was humble and loving. If he had more authority in the church of his pastor where he started, it is because he stood out among the crowd, attracting the attention of Jesus. He drew God's eyes to himself through his humble attitudes. My father was a living example of his ministry. He traveled to many countries and never needed an interpreter. The Holy Spirit would take his mouth and speak the language of that country where he was doing the mission. I reconciled with Jesus and had just returned to my father's church. I asked for God's gifts and received nothing. To get used by God was not easy. I had many demons even though I was the son of a man of God who had a powerful ministry of casting out demons. I was with legions of demons. My father did not stay in the church to solve my problem. He traveled a lot doing the mission of God. I had to free myself from these demons by fighting alone, praying, and fasting. And in the dream, I saw myself standing like a statue and Jesus thrust his hand in the middle of my chest and pulled the demons out of my body and gave orders to them not to come back. I saw Jesus pulling some 50 demons inside me. He plucked them from within me. Those 50 host demons were the last ones that were in me. In the dream, I did not see the face of Jesus because of the brightness of his face. I could only see his body. He said, "These host demons are the last inhabitants of this house, for you arrived at the church with a legion and now only had the last 50 demons were left and cast out." What Jesus expelled was already a victory. While these demons were inside my body, making a feast and messing around the house, I was disturbed. I had nightmares, insomnia, and the desire to kill myself. The desires of being homosexual again were strong. That's why I delayed getting married and still had to wait for God to prepare a woman according to his heart. In the dream, I saw those 50 demons sitting on armchairs. They were sitting in various places inside my body. One had his high chair inside my head. The other was sitting inside my heart. Others were on my knees, thigh, arm, hands, back, and belly. Even in the genital part that was making me feel desirous for women. I ask forgiveness of the brothers for speaking this way. It was the most decent way I had to explain. Who is spiritual will understand. There were demons inside. Their thrones were deep inside my soul. I could not see them because they were in secret places. My vision in the dream saw the thrones far away. My vision reached my body where the demons were. The ones that lived in my soul were far from the reach of my eyes. Jesus cleansed me of everything, dethroned them, and finished the party. After that dream, I spent a year going through cleansing processes. There are people who broke the sin yesterday and want to have a spiritual relationship with God today, but they are not completely free. If I had not sunk into prostitution and disobeyed my father, I would not go through a lengthy liberation process. Anyone who is in the way of Jesus should not backslide so that his spiritual life does not become an abode with devils. 1 year after my liberation, I began to want gifts, but I did not receive them. Jesus appeared to me in a dream, like the other time. His face shone. He said, "Come with me." I accompanied him to the door of a furnace of fire. And he said, "Go through this furnace to the end and be purified." I said, "I do not want to. I'm afraid to die." He said, "What is your choice? Be purified by fire for your salvation or be purified by the fire of hell for your condemnation? There the fire will burn your sins forever and never have redemption." I entered that furnace, felt a heat burning my flesh. Worms of sin that were inside me fell to the ground. No hair on my body was damaged and I had the sensation of the pains of the burn. Then I arrived at the end of that furnace without feeling any pain. Jesus said, "That pain that you felt was because of the worms of sin. The fire did not hit you, but the evil that was in you. While sin was connected with your spiritual life, your soul felt the pains of the destruction of sin. Now that evil is not connected with your soul, the furnace will not cause you pain." I began to understand why people suffer from the fire of hell. The fire of hell directly affects people's sins. Sins that people carry with them when they die. Their souls are connected with sin. They feel deep pains. The fire of hell feeds on the sin that is rooted in their soul. It is like the fire that feeds on fuel that never goes out. Those who are free from the fuel of hell that is sin will never be struck by those flames. After I had this dream, I came to understand what was happening to me. A few days later, Jesus appeared in my dream. I was wearing a white dress with black spots scattered around it. Jesus took a bottle that had oil and began to splash it on my clothes. Those black stains did not erase immediately. They were clearing. They became shades of lighter stains. The black spots went from becoming brown, then to becoming beige. Jesus kept throwing that oil and my robes finally went from beige to white. That oil has the effect of a cleansing agent. Jesus said, "Now that your garments are clean, be careful not to get them dirty. My bride whom I will seek has to be in her white dresses." Despite my deliverance, I still had past hurts and hidden sins that I had not confessed. I fasted. I humbled myself by praying to forget these sins. I had to release forgiveness to all those who hurt me when I was in prostitution. That was the last purification I went through. I stayed for a year going through the process of purification, and as I began to pray another year, Jesus began to pour out his gifts. In all, there were 3 years of prayer without stopping. I did not give up trying to get closer to God. I received the gifts I wanted so much. While my father was traveling, I helped his vice president in the church. After my father's death, I began to pray at his funeral home. I stayed 3 days praying without stopping, from the day of my father's death on June 2, 2016, until June 4, 2016. Then I was raptured. While my wife was asleep, a voice told me, "Today I will snatch you." A few seconds later, my spirit was standing in the room. The floor opened and I began to descend down. When I came near the floor, that floor was burning my feet, making my feet smoky and burning. I felt nothing. I remembered the words of Jesus, "The flames cannot consume those who are free from sin." I only sweat in that place as it was very hot. I could smell burning meat and boiling oil from the frying pan. I began to walk in there. The grace of God covered me and the demons passed by and they did not see me. I was surprised at the movement of demons and I decided to follow them. I saw devils of various types, demons with wings, without wings, with 2 heads. 3 meters, crocodile-shaped demons. Tigers, dogs, birds. Others had scales of fish. A variety of them running toward a place. I followed behind them where they gathered in a meeting. A dark being sat among them and said, "Let's celebrate." I saw beer, vodka, tequila, wine, and all the alcoholic drinks. The meats that were on the table are of souls. There were feet, arms, legs, eyes, and pieces of human flesh. They celebrated with great joy and hell was celebrating 3 days without end. Satan, who ordered the feast, said, "I'm not glad when I lose souls to heaven. I hate it when someone dies in righteousness and justice, but today it is different. We are commemorating the death of a righteous man who died and is in the kingdom of the heavens. We tried to gain that soul. We made several meetings to neutralize him. We lost that soul, but we will win millions of souls. Without this man in our way, everything will be easier. Today we are celebrating the 3rd day of the death of Kenzo Atsushi, our enemy that bothers. Our destruction project will be inaugurated in his church that has remained faithful to the truth. The days of this ministry are numbered." I listened to all that was said at that infernal meeting. My heart grieved at those words. My father took years to build a serious church. Now his whole project is at risk of being destroyed. False Pentecost demons. A devil introduced himself to Satan and said, "I never liked to own animals. Only human bodies. I love strange fire inside the churches. Where there is no sanctity, I am there. I am pleased to be part of the false Pentecost. I am in all confusion. I am attracted to where there are contentions. And the groups formed in the churches to speak evil of their brother, there I am. I have made many of our copies inside the churches. How effective I am." Satan said, "Great service. Who's next?" Doctrines of demons. Another demon stood up and said, "I am with a legion that is dwelling in several believers. We are putting small flames inside them to deceive them to think the Holy Spirit has come upon them. Many are already spiritually sick, making room for us to work in their lives. We are entering into various areas of their personal lives through possession, causing their spiritual deaths. They have never felt the presence of their God. They have been insensible against sin. They have no more repentance for their evil deeds. Their hearts will not be broken to weep in the presence of God. We will keep their hearts as stone as long as we dwell in them." Through lying in the false doctrine of demons, we are possessing people. Whoever opens their hearts to our teaching, we enter into their hearts together with the word that is received. They receive the contaminated seed that is planted in their hearts. Whoever receives our word also receives the owner of it. Each day they are getting sick. The more they feed on our heresies, the more they lose their true life. We are dwelling within them and sucking the little anointing they have left, causing disturbances in the soul. They no longer feel the pleasure of praying. Nor are they in the house of their God worshiping his name. They prefer to stay in their homes. We are causing mental problems in them. The thumbs demons are dwelling within their minds, causing depression, leaving them crazy to commit suicide. We were forewarned about a Christian among them. He washes his garments daily in the blood of the Lamb. He has renounced sin every day. He is sanctifying his spiritual life that shines because of his cleansing. He is not listening to our teaching as we try to convince him to believe our false doctrine. He has fought our heresies within the church. And many who were spiritually sick because our theology was healed spiritually as disciples of Jesus. Their souls have been restored through the truth that generates life. This Christian is a problem for us. Not a day goes by without him praying. He is always reading the word and sanctifying himself. He is not drinking from our filthy doctrinal sources that are corrupting their altars. Those who have drunk with our doctrines are already possessed. And our demons dwell in them. A pastor had 90 demons living inside him. In 1 year, we brought 200 demons to dwell in him. He is weak. He cannot lead the herd. He is materialistic. We are already controlling his whole life. He was holy, but his contact with the false prophets made him be influenced by their false teachings, contaminating his spiritual life, cracking his way into his life. Now demons dwell in him all over his body, feeding on his soul and his emotions. In churches where there is no truth of their God, they perish. Many are already infested with demons. Their pastors have no authority to deliver their sheep because they are also possessed and must be delivered. Satan said, "Congratulations on the victory. I will offer rewards to those who overthrow the saints who are standing. If they fail, you will pay a high price when you get to hell." I finished hearing those conversations and wanted to get out of hell. I started walking, but for a few minutes the cover that did not allow the demons to see me disappeared. A demon saw me. I started to run. He ran after me. I came to a dead end. The devil looked at me and said, "You are stuck here." I pointed the finger at him and said, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus." The demon laughed and said, "There is no authority here in our world. Only Satan has authority here." I continued to rebuke, "Back, demon." He looked at me and said, "You are in our world, you cannot defeat us here, your God is not here. On earth, you can burn us, burn me now if you can." That devil caught me with violence and said, "Satan will love to see you. The son of the man who hurt us. Before taking you to the boss, I have a surprise for you." The demon took me to a place where I saw my mother, Akemia. I cried to see her chained and asking for help. While that demon gave a laugh, a fire hit her. The flame burned in her body. She ran and screamed. The angel appeared to me and looked at my mother on fire and said, "Enough of deceit. That woman who was my mother turned into a demon." The angel pointed his sword and that demon ran. Transmutation demon, witch of Endor. The angel said, "This demon is a transmutation demon. It may take on appearances as people, angels, and animals. This is a specific class of demons working on earth to deceive. Remember the witch of Endor, which Saul consulted? This woman was deceived by one of those demons of the transmutation who assumed the appearance of the prophet Samuel." The angel took me by the hands and we climbed at high speed. We crossed the universe and arrived at the sky. I contemplated the beautiful paradise, the abode of the saints that were prepared. Multitudes of people of several generations are gathered in that kingdom. I was on the other side of the river that had the waters that glow like crystals. I saw a crowd in white praising on the other side. My father, Kenzo, was in white robes in the middle of the redeemed. When I saw him resplendent in heavenly garments, I wanted to cross the river and embrace him. The angel did not allow and said, "Crossing this river means you can never return to earth. This is the crossing without return. This is meant only for those who are saved. I can take you to other places in the sky without having to cross the river." I said to the angel, "Is there another way to get to the other side to see my father?" The angel said, "There is, but this meeting is not allowed. It is only to see him from here." I looked at my father. He was young again with the appearance of 20 years of age. My spiritual connection recognized him. I cannot explain how this happens. It is as if I knew that young man who was younger than I was really my father. The angel said, "It's time to go back." When I realized, I was at home. My wife was sleeping. The blood of the Atsushi clan is of salvation. From the family tree, from my father forward will be a different people. After my rapture, I returned to my activities in the house of God and fulfilled all the invitation schedules. The demons feared greatly that I reached the same spiritual level as my father. The demons who were dwelling in demonized Christians began to persecute me. This happens to all who serve God. The demons want us to use our flesh to offend and argue with Christians who like contentions. We cannot forget that our fight is against the devil. I will not listen to the offenses and insults of the brothers. I do not spend my time with debates. I know how to use my time to pray and to win souls. People who debate the Word of God open up cracks for demonic possessions. They act in this way because they are in the flesh, letting the devil enter into their weaknesses. In a debate, nobody accepts to lose. I can affirm that the two loses and the devil wins with this. I know the spiritual world. And I know how Satan acts. We lost the member of our ministry because of doctrinal discussions. He got into a debate with another Christian from another church. This boy went after him. Although he won that debate, he still lost as the enemy stole his peace. He had to leave our ministry because of the persecution of that boy. Something bizarre happened in a church near here. Two Christians were arguing and their rivalries reached such a high degree that one murdered the other and was arrested. Sucking demons. The Lord Jesus showed me in the vision a pastor who was used in the hands of God was not watchful and he gave place to the devil. An evil spirit possessed him and moved to live within him and control his life. This demon installed inside him began sucking out love, peace, joy, goodness, meekness, temperance, and faith. All the fruits of the spirit he had in his life were taken away by this new demonic inhabitant of his body. After this vision, Satan appeared to me personally and said, "I want to help the young missionary Atsushi." Satan made an image of African children appear and said, "How much are these souls worth to you? Are you willing to risk your miserable life for them, to shed your blood and be beheaded for them? Look at them. They are poor without roofs, dirty, filthy, and not worth their death. They will never thank you for doing anything for them. You want to open a new church, but the people will reject your doctrine. You will be persecuted and humiliated by your sheep and they will not accept your words. Even if you speak the truth for the good of each member, they will not congratulate you. Do you know why they are ungrateful, judgmental, and throw stones at you? They are without love and affection, disunited, and do not know the duty of a true Christian. Even I, who am a fallen angel, understand the word more than they know the duty of the true Christian. These churches today do not know how to be true Christians." I said, "Satan, you despise the people of God for not having love. Your heart is pure darkness without compassion. For you, these poor people are no more than rubbish of society, but Jesus shed his precious blood for them, the blood of royalty, pure and divine. He shows forth the great value of every life on earth. If for Jesus, they are valuable, for me they too are worth all this. Who am I to despise these people if Jesus died for them? Can't I shed my blood for them as well?" The church my father left was attacked by several churches saying that we are an extreme sect. These ministries grow by destroying others and competing for souls because of their offerings. This does not lead to victory. There is no benefit to God. They tried to destroy our ministry that my father founded and failed. The door from hell will never prevail against this work. Disease demons. I worked in the ministry of deliverance. One day a woman came to us for deliverance. She was full of demons. She was sick. She took medicines for various ailments and nothing happened. She was in several churches, the demons manifested and did not leave her body. She was still sick. When she visited our ministry, the demons were forced to leave. We did not cast out the demons. Only she was converted and she was cured of the infirmities. The Holy Spirit brought me a revelation saying, "I cast out the demons of the disease, causing them to carry their diseases along with them." That woman was free from the demons. She never had any symptoms. And she got rid of those drugs. Another woman who arrived at the church with breast cancer. I said a prayer and the Holy Spirit told me that there is a demon inside that woman's womb. The demon is the size of a cherry and was housed in there. I expelled that demon and that cancer disappeared. People who have congregated in our ministry have been blessed. It is not the names of denominations that save. It is that in our ministry people have a spiritual cover. Men live on their knees, interceding for the people of this church. Women fast for this work. Here we teach people the true original gospel, not pirated copies of that gospel. A man from a lukewarm church complained about not feeling the presence of God. He asked to do the mission with my father while he was still alive. He was taught and prepared for the mission. This man learned what spiritual values are. He returned to his ministry and made a difference. And he was like a matchstick that kindled the fire of the Holy Spirit in the harvest. He told members to pray and win souls. Churches led by men and not God. People planted their offerings in arid lands in churches that follow human precepts, and have never seen a change in their ministry. People who went to these human ministries had no opportunity to grow spiritually and work the works of God. Their own pastor buried their gifts. These churches that move under the direction of the man do not have Jesus as their master. They are the same as Saul, who left the direction of God and the Holy Spirit departed from him. The brethren who preached against sin in these churches went through persecution and tribulation. These churches call on the Holy Spirit, but he does not come to convict them of sin. There are churches that say Jesus is there, but he is not where the lie is preached. We must walk in the truth and conquer by the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Demonic signs and wonders. There were people who said, "In my church, we do not have to walk in the laws of God, but we have signs and wonders." I went to that church to visit. The Holy Spirit told me, "This person admires this church because it has miracles. This is not evidence of the true gospel. In the house of sorcery, there are also cures and prophecies. I am not there." The same deceitful spirits who operate signs and healings in the house of witchcraft operate in these churches. Just as I operate anywhere without being prejudicial to different denominational names, these evil spirits make no difference between the center of spiritualism and a fallen church. Both do not live the gospel and they serve other gods, not to me. Those who do not serve Jesus and his word do not know me. If they knew, they would obey their king. Those who do not obey the king is because he is not part of his palace and belongs to another kingdom. They obey this gospel without thorns that is not Jesus' gospel. They belong to the other Lord. Each walk in the laws created by his masters. I do not work my wonders where there is no repentance, where there is no crying in humiliation and salvation. I do not know them. What worth is there in a paralytic and a blind being healed and still go to hell? It is better not to be cured of your cancer. It is better to repent of your sins and to go to heaven than to be healthy and yet die in your sins and to go to hell. There in heaven, the paralytics walk, the dumb speak and the deaf hear. They're all restored. After these revelations of Jesus, I went to my house thinking about the biggest problem of the churches. Pastors who do not care about the salvation of souls or theirs. For them, their reward is on earth. The churches of healing and prosperity are full, people are there for their welfare. They do not seek salvation. The marks of these denominations were famous for the cures and signs. These denominations became known by the media and became a great company, profiting, and doing business with the Word of God. These people are in the Disney fantasy world where Jesus is the lamp genie. 90% of the population chooses these churches because of their promises of healing and prosperity. This explains how their flesh is filled with lusts. With that type of gospel preached in the United States, people are not truly free from the bondage of their sins. Liberation from sin is the truth and not the lie. What saves is the veracity of the word. The falsification of the gospel leads to hell. These preachers conquer the people by their oratory and say they are victorious. But their spiritual lives are unsuccessful. They do not have God-given spiritual ammunition. They have no advantage in a war against the devil. They say, "Satan is defeated and under our feet. We rebuke all evil in the name of Jesus." His words have no effect on the devil. His prayers have no strength in the spiritual world. How can they overcome the devil if they are already defeated? The dead no longer fights, even if they rebuke the demons in the name of Jesus, he does not hear as he does not recognize them as his sheep. Jesus has no alliance with such mistress of iniquity. The sheep wander into lost paths following these false pastors. They are deceived in that path they think to be true. These men have no authority, against whom the demons do not retreat and do not fear. To gain authority in the spiritual world is not a matter of saying empty words. I went through the process. Jesus had his 3-year ministry. In his earthly ministry, he was able to prepare his disciples in those 3 years. I had to prepare myself for 3 years. I had already returned to Jesus and was still spiritually weak. I wanted to help people but could not help myself. I wanted to build and I was stumbling on stones. I needed help. I was in the same situation as the people I was evangelizing. I could not carry the sinner in my arms. My legs could not bear the weight of my body. I had to ask for spiritual help and strengthen myself. While I was praying, someone helped me with prayers. At first, my support was the church and Jesus, and I was crawling until I took my first steps. Jesus took care of me like a child, fed me with milk. Then he began to give food adult. This child was growing in the gospel. Now I am entering into spiritual maturity. Jesus began to give me responsibilities, progressively increasing the weight of those responsibilities. To be a deliverer, I had first to be delivered. My father spoke of the spiritual warfare waged with against those who commit themselves to truly serve God and live a life of prayer, experiencing a battle. During my 3 years of ministerial preparation, I would congregate in my father's church while he was on a mission. I was not freed and watched the news on television. The demons had access to my mind and made a demonic factory inside my head, producing in my head negative thoughts, immorality, and covetousness. I was afraid of the spiritual world, and the weakness of my flesh wanted to dominate me. I began to fear the demons. My faith often gave way to fear. I could not control my life. And my demon-controlled mind made me act this way. It was my revolt that made me take action in relation to my life. I wanted to release and had to stop watching television to close the door of my mind. My father talked a lot about the experience of rapture. Listening to him is already edifying, and having experience is even more edifying. I had the pleasure of experiencing it. I do not live in the United States. I had to leave there in God's direction. The ministry that God delivered into my father's hands was growing, and they had to build a larger church. The vice president set up a decision-making council to assist him in the administration. With the death of my father, Vice President Abraham took over the presidency. He started the construction of a new church which had a larger seating capacity to accommodate more people compared to the old church. The council approved a reform to win more souls, and everything that my father built was destroyed until even the name of the church was changed. Vice President Oliver was a man who supported my father's sound doctrine. He could not do anything to preserve what he fought for. Oliver said that the majority vote of the council approved the reform. He was the only one who voted against the reform. President Abraham said, "If we vote against reform, our ministry will be disapproved and we will lose many members." That meeting that Satan made in hell about the new project that he was going to set up in the church that my father founded was being held at that time. All that was planned in hell was fulfilled on earth. The council to attract young people replaced the worship services with praise. The teachings that spoke of holiness and preached against sin were replaced with the teaching of prosperity theology. They introduced teachings that speak of family, courtship, and marriage. I felt the spiritual fall of the ministry. I was very sad seeing the church that my father left going into spiritual ruin. The spiritual coldness was coming in very slowly to kill the spiritual life of the members. Satan was laughing for his victory. My father did not let me be the president because I was spiritually weak. I was still starting. I was not prepared. The ministry he started gradually deteriorated spiritually. Sin began to enter the church. There was no more correction, discipline, or exhortation. My daughter was born. Naomi Atsushi is the granddaughter that my father dreamed of wanting to see, but he did not live long enough to see her birth. She will be a great prophet on earth. Today I am in another country. I live in Hungary. I am an evangelist from a small church, waiting for Jesus to appoint me for the pastorate. Give your life to Jesus, you who have not yet converted. You do not know what it is to serve this God of wonders. You who are backslidden for some reason, just like I did in the past, come back, Jesus is wonderful. I pray for you who wish to be reconciled at this time, Lord Jesus Christ. I present to you these people who are empty. They are without oil and deprived of your presence. Restore these vessels and make them a sanctified, useful vessel prepared for the good work. Make them pots of gold so that they remain in your presence, leaving them valuable. Lord, take away the stone and dirt that are within their hearts, cleansing them to pour out their spiritual oil. These vessels will be filled with their anointing. They will not be dry and empty of your presence. They will fill and overflow with oil. Make them a vessel of honor for you, not a vessel of dishonor from your house. So be it. Amen.